Miss Bartlett was silent.
"I fear," said Mr. Beebe, after a pause, "that I have been officious. I must apologize for my interference."
Gravely displeased, he turned to go. Not till then did Miss Bartlett reply,
"My own wishes, dearest Lucy, are unimportant in comparison with yours. It would be hard, indeed, if I stopped you doing as you liked at Florence, when I am only here through your kindness. If you wish me to turn these gentlemen out of their rooms, I will do it. Would you then, Mr. Beebe, kindly tell Mr. Emerson that I accept his kind offer, and then conduct him to me, in order that I may thank him personally?"
She raised her voice as she spoke. It was heard all over the drawing-room. The clergyman, inwardly cursing the female sex, bowed and departed with her message.
"Remember, Lucy, I alone am implicated in this. I do not wish the acceptance to come from you. Grant me that, at all events."
Mr. Beebe was back, saying rather nervously,
"Mr. Emerson is engaged, but here is his son instead."
The young man gazed down on the three ladies.
"My father," he said, "is in his bath, so you cannot thank him personally. But any message given by you to me will be given by me to him as soon as he comes out."
Miss Bartlett was unequal to the bath. All her barbed civilities came forth wrong end first. Young Mr. Emerson scored a notable triumph, to the delight of Mr. Beebe, and to the secret delight of Lucy.
"Poor young man," said Miss Bartlett as soon as he had gone. "How angry he is with his father about the rooms. It is all he can do to keep polite."
"In half an hour or so your rooms will be ready," said Mr. Beebe,
and then he retired to his own rooms to write up his philosophic diary.
"Oh, dear," breathed the little old lady, and shuddered. "Gentlemen sometimes do not realize..."
Her voice faded away, but Miss Bartlett seemed to understand, and a conversation developed in which gentlemen who did not thoroughly realize played a principal part. At last Miss Bartlett rose with a sigh and said,
"I think one might venture now. No, Lucy, do not stir. I will superintend the move."
"How you do everything," said Lucy.
"Naturally, dear. It is my affair."
Charlotte's energy, and her unselfishness. She had been thus all her life, but really on this Italian tour she was surpassing herself. So Lucy felt, or strove to feel.
"I want to explain," said Miss Bartlett, "why it is that I have taken the largest room. Naturally, of course, I should have given it to you, but I happen to know that it belongs to the young man, and I was sure your mother would not like it."
Lucy was bewildered.
"If you are to accept a favour, it is more suitable you should be under an obligation to his father than to him. I am a woman of the world in my small way, and I know where things lead to."
"Mother wouldn't mind, I'm sure," said Lucy, but had the sense of larger and unsuspected issues. Miss Bartlett only sighed, and enveloped her in a protecting embrace as she wished her good night. It gave Lucy the sensation of a fog, and when she reached her own room, she opened the window and breathed the clean night air, thinking of the kind old man who had enabled her to see the lights dancing in the Arno, and the cypresses of San Miniato, and the foothills of the Apennines, black against the rising moon.